For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. For generations, for centuries really, tobacco has been synonymous with Kentucky. The secrets and techniques have been passed down from father to son since the 1700s, but the last 50 years or so have seen enormous changes in the tobacco industry, from the fields to the tobacco companies to the people who grow it. WKU Assistant Professor of Folk Studies and Anthropology, Dr. Ann Farrell, has just released her new book, Burley, Kentucky Tobacco in a New Century. It's at burleythebook.com, and she joins us in the studio now to talk more about it. You're right. When people ask you, whatever happened to all the tobacco farms in Kentucky and the farmers, you say, nothing. They're still here.
Yes, I think that's a surprise to many people. Obviously, there are many, many, many fewer than there once were. But there are still many, many people growing tobacco in Kentucky. We don't have the 2012 census figures yet. Those should be out in the coming months. But in 2007, there were over 8,000 farmers still raising tobacco in Kentucky.
Which sounds like a lot, but compared to the heyday of 20, 30, yeah. 50 years ago, it's very much reduced.
Absolutely, absolutely. There were tens of thousands of farmers in the heyday. And in 1959, tobacco was grown on 80% of Kentucky farms. And now in 2007, it was about 10%.
You mentioned in the subtitle of your book, Kentucky Tobacco in a New Century. You're not kidding. I mean, so much has changed. It's a new century in so many ways for these tobacco farmers, for the tobacco industry.
Things are always changing. I mean, since tobacco began, but certainly in the last 10 or 15 years, things have changed dramatically in terms of marketing and so forth. But also in terms of, as you say, the technologies of raising the crop. The first farmer that I interviewed, I said, can you walk me through, tell me what happens in tobacco from, through the whole yearly cycle of all the things that you have to do. And he said, do you want to know how we do it now or how we did it in the old days? Because it's changed so much. Whether it's how the plant was, seeds were planted in what they called a plant bed, and each one of those plants had to be pulled out by hand until the 90s when farmers started growing them in greenhouses, in styrofoam trays. So that made that process a lot easier. And, of course, a major change that a lot of people think about is the move from tying tobacco into hands, or what was a handful of tobacco that was tied into a beautiful hand. In the early 80s, that moved to pressing it into bales, which also has a very aesthetic dimension and a way in which farmers take pride in how that looks as well. But those are some of the changes on the farm.
That really was a significant change from the tying in hands to the big bales of tobacco, which the big tobacco companies mandated. And, this is where we're going to take it, put it on the forklift and take it in. A big part of tobacco growing is individual pride.
Absolutely.
From growing it to the best that can be, making it look the best, to presenting it at the warehouse. A lot of that went away.
Well, in some cases it did. And in some cases, it's a very changed environment, certainly for the sale of your tobacco. At one time, you would have been selling it at the auction. You're surrounded by your neighbors and other farmers. And so that pride is very obvious. It was part of what you did in your community in terms of gaining respect, as a member of your community, when, again, most of your community was growing tobacco. Farmers talk about individually, there's still certainly a pride in wanting to raise a good crop of tobacco. But the sales environment certainly is very different. And so it's not as obvious and it's not as possible, because now farmers who are larger farmers, they're not touching every leaf like they would have been.
They're not touching any leaves.
Absolutely. In some cases, they're not touching any of it. That's absolutely true.
But you talked about it, you touched on it a bit, the title. Back in the day, Tobacco Man was really a sign of respect.
Absolutely.
He wasn't just a farmer. Now there goes a Tobacco Man.
Yeah. It was someone who really consistently raised a good crop, people went to for advice, had some status in the community.
I use the term man advisedly because you go into some length in your book that is very much a male-dominated field, although women have had and still have their traditional roles in the process.
Absolutely, and that's really important. I'm glad you brought that up, that traditionally the whole family was involved, the children and the women on the farm, certainly. And today there are still a number of women who are heavily involved in tobacco. But like many other crops historically, it's been the control of the crop, when to plant it, when to do all of the steps, has been controlled by men. And it really does, it did have that tobacco, that idea of a tobacco man, certainly had a meaning in terms of what it meant to be a locally respected man specifically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That goes to towards the end of your book. You say people say to tobacco farmers, "Well, why don't you just get out of the business? Why don't you just grow something else?"
Yeah.
Not as easy as all that, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, there are, first and foremost, of course, huge economic reasons. For many people, tobacco still makes sense in terms of what brings in the most money to the farm. So there are economic reasons. There's, specialized equipment, particular land, and, of course, barns. Changing all of that to new crops is certainly not easy. But also, I think your point is really important, that it's also about identity. And for many tobacco farmers, this is what crop was grown in the family for multiple generations. And so to just say, yeah, I think I'll raise tomatoes, it's not that easy. I mean, certainly many farmers have done that, and I'm sure we'll see many farmers do that. But it's not as simple as just raising something else.
Again, it goes back to tradition.
Yeah. I think, when we think about tradition, we're talking about, cultural practices that people, often don't even necessarily think about very consciously. This is what we do. This is a tradition for us. It's something that is ongoing and that we see as something that we will always do. But by the 90s, earlier, but really by the 90s, it had begun to be described as heritage instead. And heritage really implies this is something that's in our past. It's important to us, and it's part of who we are, but it's in our past. And so one of the points that I think is most important that I want to make in the book is that absolutely it is about heritage, but for many people it's still ongoing tradition. And most importantly, it's still an important economic mainstay of thousands of farms in Kentucky.
I was struck by the parallels to what the coal industry is going through now. They're running into their own problems about present-day economic challenges versus, lifestyles, especially in eastern Kentucky, going back generations and generations of coal men and women out there, too. So there will always be burley tobacco being grown in Kentucky?
That remains to be seen, obviously. Many farmers told me, they'll stay in it as long as it's here. And last year and this year, prices have actually been up. Production has been up, or at least last year it was up. And this year, in terms of how much was planted, is up. So it'll be interesting to see how this year goes. But yeah, as of now, anyway, it's not gone yet, and it won't be gone in the immediate future.
Yeah. Dr. Ann Farrell, her new book, Burley, Kentucky Tobacco in a New Century. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.